said, what you know about it?
It's the stew, baby.
Got the mise en place.
Young stew, baby.
And the room a lot.
Do you know what I just realized? I used to be obsessed with this notion that Austin Powers, when I saw it the first time in the theaters, was cut differently when I saw it again on DVD or on VHS. And I fucking looked it up, and I was right. There's like an international version and a U.S. version. And we must have gone into the theater and seen somebody that was showing the international version. And it's actually, like, there's a bunch of gags that are like 5 seconds longer.
You know what? I noticed that because when I watched the version on TV, it had a bunch of like commercials on it and stuff like
that. Shut up.
Hello, hello. You're listening to The Stew.
Burp, 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 burp.
My name is Jason Stewart. This is my food podcast. Chris Stewart.
Back.
Andre Canaparo.
Shalom.
Shalom. We're coming at you. It's been 4 or 5 years since we've done this.
I think so. I was a senior in high school. When we were doing this show.
I think I was still vegan.
I've learned a lot.
I mean, a lot. It's been, what, 3 months?
3 months, yeah.
Probably?
Yep.
Streets are talking. Sorry that we left you.
Big shouts to the internet. Sorry to respond.
You know, there's just a perfect storm of events that happened that just kind of made it.
We needed a hiatus.
Yeah.
We needed a hiatus for some things in our personal lives. Travel schedules were all over the place. Chris Stewart... always is working every day.
Always working every day.
And then they, you know, when one episode doesn't work out that week, and then the second one doesn't work out, and then the third doesn't come together, then it just gets a little bit easier and easier. Kind of like I'm assuming like an addiction to a substance would be.
Yeah, like.
It's funny.
Paso Robles.
Having not done it for so long, I actually was like, hey, I actually enjoy doing that sometimes. Like there's some times where it's like. You're fitting it into a day's schedule, and you're just like, oh, this thing pays me no money. And I just has to
bit
do
of a
this.
Slog.
But there's times when it's super fun, and it gets us to go, because I realize I haven't seen Chris in like almost as long,
too. So long.
I'm glad to be back. Well, glad to be back.
And just thanks for everyone for giving us love. And,
yeah,
keeping the
torch burning.
I didn't respond most of the time because I didn't know if we actually were coming back. I was so nervous, like, oh, are we doing this podcast still? Because I don't know. But then we did, and
we back.
Happy.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, once a day on something on Twitter or Instagram or something, people are sad about it, which makes me feel happy.
Yeah,
that so many people came out of the woodworks and were putting up a fight. Including our moms,
that's
giving us
sure.
shit and all that stuff. So, since this is the only podcast that I do that my mom is allowed to listen to,
hi, mom.
I'm sure she was feeling it.
So I only have Stewartgram, which is when one of you guys tells me something happens on Instagram.
Yeah.
So I heard from you guys that people were looking forward to the next show. So
You probably got a couple faxes or something, right?
We should put your email on the end here. That'd be chill.
Well, I mean, I guess. Yeah, and also, I think another thing for me is like I just kind of got burnt out on food media for a hot minute there where everything just sort of seemed stupid.
I think it's easy. It's really easy to do, especially in LA. And I think LA right now, at this place and time, is getting the most attention for their food. Because for a long time, it wasn't considered the food destination that it is now.
We're the Ibiza of food.
It would be shat upon, mostly.
And I think people are basically arguing that the most interesting food in the United States is happening in L.A. in a lot of different places. And Koreatown's been a big part of that.
Suck it, Denver.
Boom! But,
Long Beach.
You know, it's like, it's really easy to be annoyed by foodie culture and food culture when you just realize that it can be such a hype machine and people aren't even talking about what the food is. Mm-hmm. They're just talking about who opened it or who left what restaurant to start what thing. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, the point is eating it and sharing it. And it seems to, I can get burnt out very easy.
Or like if a car crashed into the storefront of the restaurant.
Yeah.
That's like half of food news is like if a car crashed
acts
into
acts of God that happened to the restaurant. Yeah. But I never get burnt out talking about it with you guys.
That's
true. But I go to like a food event and I'm just like, fuck this place. I don't want to be here. I don't want to talk to these people. This sucks. Everybody's got a backpack and a camera they don't know how to use and a lens they shouldn't be able to afford. Like,
next Saturday, I'll be DJing the food barbecue thingy. Come check me out.
Yeah, but you're getting paid. It's different.
Straight paid money.
I am DJing a barbecue event on Saturday the 20th.
Let me get that plus one.
It's at Tenants of the Trees in here in Silver Lake, California. It's
MJ's, right?
It used to be MJ's, and it's a place where people get roofied.
It's a roofie factory, yeah.
There you go.
It's a roofie factory. Okay, yes.
That's also Chinatown Silver Night, so I'll definitely not be there.
So August 20th. From 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., it's the barbecue blowout, and I'll be DJing.
Sick.
And then Chris Morningstar of Tureen will be barbecuing food.
Cool.
And you can go to barbecue blowout august2016.eventbrite.com, just a little wordy. or you can just like look on Instagram or all that shit. But
Google any of those things.
I think it's like a $10, and you get like a whole plate full of barbecue. And
let
stuff.
Me borrow $10.
Yeah, but like,
I'll get pluses. I think I get 5 VIP comps. Whoop. So you got one.
Boom, boom.
If you're listening and you want one, send me a tweet. If you are worthy,
BBQ head,
I'll fix you a plate, fam. All right, so let's get it. Let's just get into the fucking hot topics.
Where do we want to start?
I mean,
travel.
Good old Andre was really nice enough to take the lead and get a bunch of notes compiled on a living Google document, which is really. Unfortunately, I've had to succumb to Google documents and spreadsheets and everything. That's just the way the world works around me, and I don't like it. They're I put clunky. Up a fight, but it's got to be done.
They can't get clunky. Away from it.
And Andre, a man after my own heart, has italicized and bolded.
You know. Sometimes you got to make things work.
I love to italicize. No hyperbole.
No, it's good. It delineates.
All right. Well, let's do. We can get into a little travel. Stewie and I. We went on a little trip to Baja.
This is so cool.
The Mexican wine country.
It's just an impromptu.
Yeah,
getaway.
It was like it was so impromptu because I think we almost had plans. And I was like, "What's up?" And you're like, "Oh, I'm going to Mexico tomorrow." I'm like, "What?" Are you talking about?
We were there for like 36 hours with
so
my
cool
girlfriend and our friend Alexis and just some randoms, and we ate like at two.
I saw the photos. Jason showed me the photos. The food looked amazing. But the settings looked amazing.
From door to door, from my house to a winery in the middle of nowhere and just an amazing field in Mexico, another country. It feels like you're on the other side of the world in less time than it takes to drive to Las Vegas or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like 2 hours to the border if you're driving, if you're hauling ass like your boy them jeans does. Catch me in the Challenger on 5 South.
It's a big body challenger.
Just dodging highway patrol. Dodging human traffickers. Shout outs to all the traffickers.
Driving at 2 a.m. with the lights off so nobody can see you.
Vin Diesel.
I know what it is.
Don't give away all my secrets. just blasting a podcast or something. And then once you get to the border, you know, park there, walk across, and then
the
like
first
an hour.
Thing we ate, though.
Hmm?
The first thing we ate might have been my favorite thing the whole time.
Yeah, maybe the best thing we ate was just straight up some goat tacos at the border. Just a random guy like, you know what? I'm in Mexico now. Everyone's yelling at me to get into a taxi cab.
That's so stressful.
If I wasn't 6'9", I was about to get duffel bagged into the back of a trunk. And they're like, yo.
That's the part where you just want to get out. Yeah,
you're like, let me get 4 of these goat tacos. And it was, you know, it's just like, cool, that'll be like $1.07 total. I'm like, okay, great. But yeah, they do it all up with the sauce, and they dip half the tortilla into like this little salsa that's been cooking all day.
The consomme.
The consomme, yeah.
So is that birria or cabrita?
Birria. It was birria this time.
It was birria. Birria.
I think the cabrita could be funky.
Mm. I'm all right with funky. I'm all right with some stank like on it.
That sounds like a Jamiroquai song.
Funky.
The cabrita can be funky.
Traveling without moving.
The
cabrita can be funky.
Overall, a lot of amazing wine was drank.
It's just...
I didn't like any of the food when I was there.
No.
What?
The food that was good.
The photos look so good.
The goat?
Yeah, but I'm like a
I'm leaning towards Jason, by the way, so I'm
kind of
on.
I'm kind of like a snobby little bitch, though, you know?
Yeah, the best food was the lowest brow that we had, and the worst food was the highest brow we had.
Yeah,
and these are highly regarded spots. The oysters at both spots were fantastic.
But they were also served kind of warm, room temp, sun kissed. Yeah, the brown.
Were they grilled or baked?
No,
or half shell?
One was just on the half shell with brown butter, and it might actually be grilled. Shoot.
Yeah, the ones with brown butter were a little warm because of the brown butter, but that was delicious. Brown butter and oyster is a sick ass combo that I've never had before.
Sick ass combo.
And I was very into it. But before we're doing like a little al fresco wine field dining, like very much like a Napa Valley sideways situation going on, and they just brought out like a dozen oysters. But instead of them being like super cold, super chilled, they kind of were a little room temp. Maybe
I like that.
It could be maybe a fly flying around them, and I was not down.
You can't get those notes. Like a lot of those notes are just locked.
But it wasn't.
You might be right, but I do not like room temp oyster.
He's saying on the side of room temp, they weren't really room temp.
All right.
As hot as it was outside.
Yeah. It was. They were warm enough to where I was not down with eating them at all. And I can eat 3 dozen oysters to the dome.
See, I'm not an oyster purist. I like a half dozen. Like after 6, it's just diminishing returns. I don't like them
like
anymore.
Three.
You also eat them with ranch.
Pretty close. I was gonna say they're dressed. They've got mignonette. They've got lemon. They've got horseradish. They've got cocktails. I mean, everything that's there is getting a spoonful. And I do really enjoy them. But I would far from call myself knowledgeable about oysters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've never eaten oysters with you and not said, do you want some oyster with your cocktail sauce?
Yes, probably. But I do really enjoy them. But yeah, cold, definitely cold for me.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing that I was noticing, like in many other countries that are sort of trying to not emulate what's going on in America, but like so many forms of culture, America is at the forefront.
Yeah.
Music, food, whatever it might be, and whenever countries try to sort of emulate that, they're always going to be behind, and it's always, so. But when they stick to what they do best and what they're known for, is when they always shine. And it's kind of cliche when you see it on a Top Chef or something like that, where like I'm a Mexican chef and I make the best blah 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 blah, blah, and then you do the challenge where you're like, okay, I'm going to make like a French omelet, and they're like, don't do that. You need to stick to what's inside of your heart. Like, don't try to make, like, beef bourguignon. Don't try to make...
Those oysters were from Mexico. Like,
and they fucked them up.
But
when we went to that restaurant, we had, like, a 10-course tasting menu, and the only thing that was good was the tamale.
The tamale was out of control, and it was beautiful.
Super good.
And the dessert plate was good. It was just, like, simple chocolates and kind of, like, the dessert version of, like, digestive.
No flan?
They were so chill.
But, you know, I get that from Grandma from the See's Candy.
No, but that was, like, that was...
But it was also good.
Mm-hmm. What were the biggest misses on the tasting menu?
God, it was just, like, the texture of things, like, a quote-unquote, like, dehydrated kale was just, like... chewing super hard to even get
like
through.
A Trader Joe's kale
it wasn't
snack?
Light.
What's
you wanted
what's dehydrated kale.
You wanted that because it was. You figured it was like a garnish.
It was like when kale chips came out 5 years ago, and then you tried to make them for the first time at your house, and you like tried to lie to yourself that they were good, but they were actually not good.
Like you didn't destem it properly.
It was that kind of vibe. Yeah, I mean, it was like
so chewy.
You know when you
things
see
like
an iguana eating lettuce, just kind of like.
That was it.
That was me eating.
That was you eating the kale.
Or it'll be like, here's like course number 7, and you've been waiting 40 minutes for the next course to come out, and when it finally comes down, it's just like this little ass dumb like chicken thing that is just like God, I waited
well,
so long
for
this.
For making kale chips, it's like to me because I went through lots of batches of making them, and one dino kale works is I think the only kale you can really use.
Sure. That's the only kale I eat, period.
And you have to take the rib out, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, if there's a piece of surface area of that kale that doesn't have oil on it, it's not going to be good.
It's like,
you have to massage kale for kale chips like so you've hard. Never massaged kale before.
If there's ideally not, with citrus.
Yeah, if there's not a single surface spot of any of that kale that isn't glistening with oil, it's going to cook bad. And that's the thing. Like, you can't just, like, throw it in a bowl and toss it with a spoon. You got to rub those things with, like, over and over.
It's
and over.
A little diminishing returns when because you see the bag of kale chips at Trader Joe's, right. And you're like, I don't know if I want to spend, like, $7.99 for some kale chips. And then when you make them one time, you're like, okay, yep. I totally get it. I get it now.
Yep.
I think the vibe there, though, is that if you would talk about the courses being spread out, and actually they were pretty spread out, it's like, I think that's just Mexico. It's
yeah, they
more,
have a different culture.
It's more akin to a European vibe. You know, it's a slow pace. Yeah, it's like drinking wine. Mm-hmm. He warned us it was going to be like a 5-hour lunch. And it's like, fuck, it really was a 5-hour lunch.
So. Yeah, but there's a difference between a 5-hour lunch where it's just like everything is working right and it's in sync. And then where everyone is like, you're just like eyeballing, like, can I have some more water, please? Like, can we order another glass of wine,
well,
please?
That is an absolute nightmare. It just sounds like the worst meal ever.
Which is why I don't like tasting menus.
But some places get it right. Like if you go to Trois Mecs and that it's dialed in like when the NASCAR people are doing the oil change and they do everything like that. Like the precision that they have it all worked out. That's like, okay, that's how it's done.
And I think this spot is totally capable. It could have been an off day. We did go for lunch. It was like kind of a funky time. They might have been understaffed. I don't know.
So many flies.
Stewie being real kind over here.
Well, because I'm getting there.
Well, we like to do a little devil's ass.
Because I followed them on social media, and I realized it. And I know that it's good because the wine was bananas. Like, the wine was exceptional.
The Mexican banana wine was actually very unique and delicious. But that wine that we had, what was that? It was like a...
We had so much wine that weekend, it's all a blur.
It was a golden honey type of situation.
And
that
was
just
I was like, oh, you could see the hill that it came from, like, over yonder. It was just insane. But
that's very cool.
Thank you for using the correct Spanish terminology.
So they had, whatever, their 5-year or their 10-year anniversary of this restaurant. Did you see? And the chefs that they had come were the Wes from Gorilla Tacos and the chef from Taco Maria. Mm-hmm. So if that's any tight. Like if there's a cosign, I'm pretty sure those two will get you in. So like I would never besmirch anyone from going. It just was just like it was kind of
You hit it on an off day then.
It was,
maybe.
And you know, there was things that were fine, but it wasn't mind blowing. And thank God it was Baja, so it was pretty cheap. You know.
Oh yeah, all things considered, it was affordable.
Yeah, but the wine was like exceptional.
But you can have a 5-hour tasting menu. If the food, I mean. That 5 hours can be filled completely from stop to finish with conversation about the food if it's good.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's not too long to have a meal if it's really something special.
Yeah.
I agree. And if the atmosphere is correct and if it's done well.
We ate at Kispaka. We did not have a tasting menu. Mm-hmm. Me, you, and Bob, my mom. And we sat for probably 2.5 hours. And the majority of the conversations was about the food because the food was so amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like there were jokes and stories, but like we could have just talked about what was in front of us for the entire 2.5 hours. Easy. Yeah.
And even if a dish and like you order everything at once and then they pace it out the way they think is the best. And even if you disagree with that, you're like, I feel like this should have come out before this. You don't second guess it. Like they're like, this is going to come out at this time. And you're like, I feel like you should have brought that out a 30 minutes ago. And then you take a bite of it with everything else going on. Then you're like, oh, okay. I get it. This makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I trust you. Yeah. You've earned my respect.
That's why you get the big bucks.
I think there were like 13, but like a tasting menu, 13 people.
That's a lot. There were 13. Yeah. Did you meet people in Mexico?
No, it was it was
not 13. It was more like of a solid 9.
There was a lot of people.
That's right.
Celebration. So,
moral of the story: when you go to Mexico, just pack a lunch. Just kidding.
No, tacos.
Just buy 30 tacos on
get
the way.
Get the actual Mexican food.
Wish I could think of
in Mexico.
The spot that we went to. The name. I bought a shirt. I can't remember for the life of me.
It was pretty good.
But it was pretty good. But
it wasn't
mind blowing. But it was the vibe was sick. You know, the whole it's just.
Was
like,
it better than Taco Zone?
Hell no.
No.
I mean, so that I'm like.
That's
the
problem. But it was really good.
That's the problem.
When you're traveling and there's a food truck in a Vons parking lot that has better food than somewhere that you're sitting down and eating, it's like...
Mm-hmm. Or if there's 30 taco trucks in L.A. in Vons parking lots that are better than the one where you have to wait for a 30 minutes, swatting flies, Wild dogs.
That was awesome. I like that part.
Yeah, I would like that part
too. Flies don't like the dog part. Was funny. It was like banter. Mm-hmm. But you're just a little bougier than I am.
No
apparently.
Smart water. I'm just kidding.
He is He's getting worse but with age. Jason is getting bougier and bougier.
We had a nice fish fry though on the beach that was really good though. I like that.
Yeah, that's how it was.
And that's what I wanted. I can get tasting menus up here. I really want to eat like grimy food.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And that the grimy stuff was good. The first thing, the birria, and
what
then
was
just,
the fish fry? You go down to this beach where there's just every hour there's a boat coming in where they catch everything from yellowtail to octopus to all
scallops,
different kinds of clams
mussels.
And scallops and everything like. A real bounty of the sea, and they lay it all out, and then you go pick out what you want. They'll scale it for you, or gut it for you, or fillet it, however you want to. And then you walk down the beach, and there's like
vendors,
multiple vendors that they set up.
Will grill it or fry it?
They set up a little ramshackle
that
operation on
like the
sand.
The greatest thing I've ever
it
heard
was
in my
great,
entire
dude.
Life.
And they have beer? You go there, yeah, they got
yeah,
beer.
Yeah, they actually had beer.
And you
that
just
sounds like the greatest day of my life.
You buy a six-pack, and there's like a little caddy with 12 different hot sauces, and you get some chips, and they just give you more tortillas, and you just eat
the
whole fried fish.
It was so amazing. So simple.
The today I learned is go to the wineries and enjoy the wine. Go to the vineyards, enjoy the view, enjoy the wine, and then drive down and go to the fish fry or find some tacos.
Yeah.
And then on your way out, in Tijuana,
smuggle out some cheap Vicodin. Bingo,
got it. Get your teeth worked on. Get some glasses.
That's right.
But you go to where the
I got my ass done. And nobody noticed.
Get that discount Botox.
That
nobody said
salad
anything.
Was amazing.
Oh, that's right. You went to the place that invented the Caesar, right?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
The Caesar salad was pretty good. Not the best I've ever had, but definitely solid. Especially and it's like a really nice. It's
tableside, right?
It's called the Caesar Hotel. Or I guess the Hotel Cesar.
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 But the one thing they had there is a super wild. But it's like it's a real oasis in Mexico because it's literally just like a Musso and Frank's smack dab in the middle of Revolution Street.
Right.
Where, you know, everyone's wearing kind of like...
They were stunting. People were stunting.
Everyone is, everyone's dressed up nice. All the waiters are kind of like old guys wearing like little sort of tuxedo tail kind of things. And they have the cart coming around. But they had their roasted bone marrow dish was served on a little mini sope.
That was very good.
Which is another thing I've never had before. But it's, you just scoop out the bone marrow straight onto the little kind of like 2-inch round sope. Mm-hmm. Hit it with a little, it was like a little salsa verde or something.
Yeah, I think
like
it
that.
Was. It was
like a little
like
garlic, parsley, lemon, olive oil.
It was a really nice.
Like a rustic pesto almost.
It was a nice fresh sope.
Yeah. It wasn't
that's
like,
the problem. Like,
it was pretty fresh. It was good.
I've been sope burnt before where you get the sope and you can tell that it's been like out for like 5 hours. And
fool
it's
me
super
once.
Dry.
Shame
and
on
like,
you, sope.
But a good sope is kind of spectacular.
Sure. It was not the freshest.
I think
but
we're realizing
it was
this,
nice.
The Stewart Brother Divide. Like I love the Caesar Cesar because it was so fresh and the dressing was like fairly close to room temp. Like I realize I hate salads that are ice cold where you know that it was prepped out and it just came straight from the fridge. Stood on your plate.
Some salads are better cold than others.
Like I mean,
there's
like,
something to be said about the steakhouse side salad with the blue cheese on it, where it's just ice cold, and it
the smokehouse like, in Burbank does it well, baby.
Just
cold blue cheese
iceberg,
on the side,
cold like beets, cold tomato. I mean, like it defies everything. You should never refrigerate a tomato, but it has to be in like
you have
a
to when
super
you cut it
cold
law, so.
Cucumber, like all
love
that
it.
Stuff. Just
so
dumb,
good.
And sometimes it's exactly what you want, and it's also a. It's a temperature and a texture contrast for what you're going to have.
It sure is.
So you want to have cold and crunchy, hot and mushy.
Mush.
I do that same. I walk that dance every morning when I have the coffee and smoothie.
I think you should.
Hot and bitter, cold and sweet.
You should do. You should release simultaneously two mixtapes.
Yeah.
Like November Rain. Like Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. And it should
I'm
be called.
One.
What was it? What did you
cold
say?
And crispy, hot and mushy.
Yeah, you should do two of them at once. Dual releases. Hit the streets the same time. Bang, bang.
Get in the ring.
That's good. What a time to be alive.
I believe that we're all going to go see Guns N' Roses Segway.
Oh, I cannot wait.
I can't wait. I think we're going to get pretty sober.
I will back that statement up that when Dan was like, yo, I'm getting Guns N' Roses tickets, we should go. I was like, I'm in. It'll be fun. I'm hanging out with you guys. I don't expect much. And then I've talked to people. I met somebody in Toronto who went like two nights before. And I talked to a few people that have seen him in different places, and they all said the show's spectacular. So now I am fully on board, so excited.
Lucian Parlay, because you had a talking point at Toronto.
Oh, yeah. Well, the point, it's a twofold conversation.
Give it up. T-Dot.
Because I went straight from Toronto to Orlando. Toronto,
that's
to
another
me,
cold and crispy and hot and mushy.
so the topic is Orlando, worst food in the universe. Whew. Toronto, maybe one of the best cities to eat in the world. Mm-hmm. Toronto, like from the ranging experiences you can have from different kinds of specific cultural food, the Jamaican and the Caribbean food is unparalleled that I've eaten. I've never gone to Jamaica, I've never been to the Caribbean, but anywhere that I've eaten it, it's the best I've had is in Toronto, and it's a huge community too.
And the chicken dip?
Trust me, daddy.
Trust me now. But the Korean, I went to a Korean bar food place that I would put up against most things in Koreatown.
Mm-hmm. Dang.
And
Koreatown, Los Angeles.
Maybe next time. Yeah, Koreatown, Los Angeles. Maybe next time I'll try and remember the name of it. But the food was so good, and it was just such a fun place to eat. Like the scene doesn't feel as hyped and like.
It's just like we've been doing this for the whole time, dog.
I just love Toronto. I love that city myself. And Orlando, spending 4 days there, I know there's probably amazing food in Orlando. Nope. But you have to find it. No, there has to be some amazing Cuban food.
If we ask Eddie Wong,
there's something in Orlando.
If we ask Eddie Wong, he'll have spots for us.
But the argument or the point of the conversation is you drive in Toronto and you throw a rock out your window and you hit four great restaurants. You know?
Mm-hmm. You hit an OVO member.
You can drive.
For God's sake.
Yeah, well, he's got his whole plaza there. He's got all four of his restaurants.
Oh,
Chang's
really?
Got all four of his restaurants in one hotel. The Mandarin. I was there. We were shooting there.
How convenient.
But if you go in Orlando, you can drive for 10 miles and not see anything but a chain restaurant. You will not see. You can drive for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and not see anything.
Can you at least go to Waffle House,
and
though?
It's just like, no, but Waffle House is terrible. Waffle House is not tight. This is going to be divisive,
like
but
Waffle
I've talked
House.
To people about this. If you grew up on Waffle House, it's got a place in your heart.
Yeah.
But if you want greasy, dirty diner food, Waffle House is not a good version of it. It's just like a totally like okay
it
version
is,
of it.
It, yeah, Waffle...
I ate a lot of them, trust me. I ate one when we were shooting Small Town Gay Bar. We ate at one once every day or every other day because we had no money and one of our crew was vegan so we could get potatoes.
That is cheap.
I mean, I ate a lot of Waffle House.
I will
House
say food. I prefer Bob Evans.
What's Bob Evans? I don't even know what Bob Evans
is. Bob Evans is North CAC, and they have like some of the best biscuits I've ever had.
I've never eaten there.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're talking about Bob Evans?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, yeah. It's
no, what's,
Bob
what,
Evans is
sorry, what's the place
good.
In Canada? The donut place.
No, I'm
Tim
talking
Hortons.
About, I'm talking about
Tim
North
Hortons.
Carolina.
Sorry.
Tim Hortons.
I got
North
Tim
Carolina.
Hortons and Bob Evans mixed
no,
up.
No, Bob sorry. Evans, we went there with, I went there with Mom, and she just like... I've never seen her really jones for food before, like get nostalgic. And she's like, we just, like, that's where we're going for lunch. We have to get these biscuits. I ate them with her with, like, they had honey butter and they have really good apple butter. And we just looked at each other and we had this moment, like, damn, Mom, these biscuits are crazy good. This is like, because, like, I mean, it's like,
damn,
it's like,
show
it's
good. Good.
It's like Popeye's level. Popeye's got good biscuits, though.
Popeye's are good biscuits. Was it Emerson and Royce Bar good biscuit?
Everson.
Oh, Everson man.
Bar.
Different strokes.
It's different. It's apples and oranges.
Okay.
It's kind of like the difference between getting like a gourmet burger versus a
pine burger.
Right. In-N-Out burger or something.
Yes.
But if you live in L.A. and you like biscuits and you haven't had them, Everson Royce Bar downtown... Dude. There, I don't.
Emerson Lake and Palmer Bar downtown.
Everson with a V.
Let's go ERB. You can just type in ERB; it'll pop up.
I say it's not a traditional biscuit. It's a little more flaky than it is.
They're chiquito,
doughy, and they're small. But I say pound for pound,
I say gold standard.
The best biscuit I've
LA,
ever had in my
for
life,
for sure.
Oh, agreed.
Top biscuit I've ever had.
Agreed.
With the prosciutto,
they're croissant-esque.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
It was exceptional.
Hot fire.
Hot fire. And the crescendo of our meal.
But too. The, yeah. But, yeah, I would say all the times I've had Waffle House, it has, like, I guess it has, like, a Del Taco, like, quality yeah. where, like, you know, like, it's warm and comforting. It's always open. And it, you know, it's bright. And you can get a hot plate of food for so cheap. You know the food quality is lowest common denominator. You know it doesn't get any lower on the rung than those ingredients.
Hella beige in there, food and
decor. But you just, but it, you know, it's just, you know, it's like eating a Jack in a Box taco or something. Like
you,
know,
don't go
you
for
know, it's
lunch.
Just garbage food, but it's it's, you know, it's sort of like comforting, like. Mother's teat, if you will.
It is so Del Taco. It's like the well, Southern Del Taco.
The only, I mean, I guess the reaction and
shout out to all of our international listeners who have no idea what we're talking about anything.
Well, while I was in Orlando, I was around a lot of people and people that were visiting from out of town, and I heard conversations being like, "Oh, you've never been to a Waffle House? You got to go. It's fantastic." Mm. And I understand if it's got a soft spot for you in your food palate, and I get that, and there's restaurants that I like that I wouldn't take people to that for whatever reason I like that dish there, or I like, you know, but like I would never tell somebody who's never been to a Waffle House that you have to go.
You got to go.
Oh, like no. That's not a can't miss.
No, I've never eaten Waffle House before midnight and yes. not sober.
That's yes. where the Del Taco analogy comes in. I'm not trying to send somebody to Del Taco for lunch.
No.
It sounds like you are, Chris.
Oh.
Yeah, there's certain places that you should never go before midnight.
No.
Denny's, I mean, Waffle House,
yeah.
Jack in the Box, Del Taco, Taco Bell, all fast food. I mean, I'm trying to eliminate all fast food from my life completely, and I'm almost there.
Yeah.
I think I do a Del Taco once a month.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now trying to cut out the taco truck that's right by my house out of
El
my
Flamin.
Diet. Yeah, it's tough.
I'm trying not to eat after 7. It's worked
there you go.
Seven? Really well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right seven. There. High five.
So well.
So good.
I'm trying really to do 10 p.m.
No, 7 p.m.
Seven, it's
solid.
Crazy. I've lost so much weight and I have so much energy. It's stupid.
And I so much better waking up.
So I feel so much better waking up. I never sleep. I never have like that wake up at like 4 a.m.
What if you have to go to like a tastemaker dinner though?
I'm
just kidding.
Then you kill yourself.
Yeah, man.
That's what you do if you have to do that.
Okay, what can? I mean, I want to say 7, but it's not going to happen for your boy.
Well,
so
here's the deal.
No,
like,
but you have a work schedule that doesn't permit it, and that I get it. But when it's elective.
Oh yeah.
If it's elective, 7 p.m. is nice.
Well, it's also hot, and I don't get that hungry after 7 because like. I my appetite is so small in the summer right now.
What time is you lunching at, though?
I don't lunch, dude. I work in a restaurant. I just eat whatevs.
You're just nibbing.
Yeah, I'm always nibbing.
There was also a piece in the New York Times a couple weeks ago, or at least talking about a study that debunks the importance of breakfast. That debunks the idea that you have to have, like, that it's the most important meal of the day.
Mm.
You have to have a semi-calorie-loaded meal to kind of get your body working.
Mm.
So
yeah.
I've been, like, it's really nice to do a little shake or a small smoothie, whatever, some fruit, maybe a piece of toast for a little bit of fiber, a little carbs. So you have a super light breakfast, you have a decent lunch at, like, noon 1, and then you try and eat before 7, and your body appreciates it.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't take much, mm-hmm. man.
Yeah,
you have your cheat days, for sure.
You don't have those...
Oh, cheat days,
oh,
for
dude,
sure.
Yeah, does it plans or a date or whatever, but, like...
Does it cut down on your night terrors?
Yes. Well, I mean, like...
I mean, I sweat a lot.
I mean, I'll never escape those, but...
They'll never be all the way gone. Yeah.
They're shorter.
Yeah.
No, but, like, so... And speaking of cheat days, like, we went to Alma pop-up at Standard for brunch and then Kiesbacher at night for dinner. That's,
damn.
Like, that is horrible. That is a horrible combination. But I felt fine because I knew what I was doing. I ate less the day before. The day after was a little slimmer. Like,
but also,
you can do that.
You can
Andre
do that.
Looks great.
But going back to that,
I've been working out a little bit.
There is something to be said about eating food where the quality of ingredients is top notch. And both of those restaurants, even though we had, you know, like slam dunk meals in terms of gluttony and
yes.
and fat and calories,
we did not hold back.
They're both places where the quality of ingredients, produce, meat, all that stuff is going to be pretty. Top notch,
100%.
So like the quality of salt, it's like this, like it's so crucial.
Agreed.
The way your body absorbs all these ingredients, it's just huge.
Should we talk about the Alma brunch? Because
sure.
It was like maybe my favorite brunch I've had in a long time.
Yeah,
I'm
absolutely.
Not a brunch guy. I thought it was excellent. I was really blown away.
I'm not a brunch guy too, but it's nice to have a little, sometimes it's good to have a little. I feel like as I've gotten older, it's good to reserve one day of the week to just say, fuck it.
Yes.
Have a glass of white wine in the daytime.
I haven't drank in the morning in a long time at a meal, but the kimchi Bloody Mary.
Publicly.
Publicly. No. No. Out of my trunk in my car.
Sure.
In a Lowe's parking lot, for sure.
In the Lowe's. That's
a Tuesday. That's a Tuesday. But I'm talking about in front of other people.
When you're about to go return stuff at Lowe's?
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to need a little something on top to get this transaction finished.
Where is that receipt?
I do it less and less. I feel like the Bloody Mary brunch game is a young person's game. It's like you're 22 and you live in New York.
Yeah. It's also kind of trash.
It is a little trash. But the kimchi Bloody Mary was bananas. Mm-hmm. It was one of the best cocktails I've had in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Up there with when we went to, in Santa Monica, when we went to Bel Campo. Those cocktails. It was like those level cocktails where I was just like, this is way beyond just a good old-fashioned, old boulevardier. Like, this is a really intelligent cocktail.
Forward-thinking.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Sour, so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get that tang of MSG or kind of over-fermented kimchi, something that's been on the shelf a little too long.
Yeah, it's got a little fizzle.
And there was none of that. There was none of that in that. It tasted so clean, tasted house-made. I mean, it was, I want another one. Tonight, Tito. I want him tonight.
I need it in my body. Yeah, that was a great. And there was a brunch where it's not like we're gonna go and we're gonna get pancakes and eggs and bacon and just like pile it on. It's like get a little gem butter lettuce salad. Get a pancake, but it's like a thick like bran pancake where it's
like paleo vibes almost.
It just feels like this is obviously like a fat ass pancake covered with cultured maple butter and organic syrup, but also like it's filled with nice whole grains that are good for you and not too much sugar and like the flour they use is probably like a super great artisanal flour that's unbleached and expensive and all that stuff.
It could have been scratched. They could have milled it themselves.
Posiblemente. Yeah, and then like there's like the little hash with some tasso ham and some little potatoes, and like you can just tell like I'm having brunch, but they got everything from the farmer's market in Santa Monica.
Yeah, and it's funny too because hash is one of those things where it's one of those things you really want to be good because it's not good for you. You just really want to enjoy it in the morning. And I would say the majority, like over 50% of the hashes I order disappoint.
Even
when it looks so good or like, the specialty here is the brisket hash. And you're just like, I would love that. Mm-hmm. And you get it and you're just like, it's fine. It's not amazing. Mm-hmm. But that tasso ham, like every single potato in that hash was cooked perfectly and was amazing. Mm-hmm. And every slice of that ham was mind-blowing. It was like there was no letdown. And it really wasn't that heavy. Mm-hmm. It was just really intelligently thought out. I mean, it was an excellent hash.
It was. And those larger, thick portions. It wasn't like a little mush together. It wasn't like
It wasn't a chopped. It wasn't a chopped hash. It was more
Pittsburgh
like
style.
Pieces. Yeah. Which can be good, too, when it's done really well. But sure. It was definitely not that. It was kind of trying to focus on being able to enjoy the individual ingredients.
Yeah, I'm liking sort of the elevated, a little bit more mature Sunday brunch.
And then the crab poutine was good. I knew you'd had it before and liked it, played it a little differently, but I thought it was very good when I had it.
I mean, of course. I mean, Dungeness crab and French fries and béarnaise sauce, I mean, it's not going to be bad.
And then we had a salad. Salad was great. I mean, it was just a simple butter lettuce salad, I think, or a gem lettuce salad.
And then they just made like a house-made Cinnabon.
Oh, that's right. That's what we had. That was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great.
And it was Sunday at 1, and, it was busy, but, it wasn't a zoo.
Mm-hmm. So it hasn't caught on yet,
The environment was really comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Dog friendly?
Very dog friendly.
Oh.
Yeah, who knew? Dog friendly. Yeah, but, like, I think
you have to have a dog that has been licensed to be a therapy animal, but sure, also very welcoming of those dogs.
It is LA, so most of them
you're
are.
You're going to have to be, right? Ugh.
Yeah, my service monkey was allowed as well. He kept eating all the stuff. And then, yeah, Kispaka, another home run meal at Kispaka.
I just don't understand.
But more importantly, we need to talk about the wine.
The consistency. No, we don't need to talk about the wine. The wine was just a nice little.
Why not? It's exciting, man.
I don't understand.
You don't want to talk about
it? I wasn't there.
What are you talking about? No.
All right, we're about to go to Kispaka for our listeners at home. It's a restaurant that's like meat.
It sounds like a brag. And
we have talked about this place in the pub before, but we got
to
follow up.
I just wanted to not be a brag.
Oh, yeah.
But the wine was very good.
All right, so we're at this restaurant. Meat. It's an Italian meat-friendly place. Owners of Moza. Super tight, super ballin'.
Tomahawk
Chop.
Cute
little place. Crazy
pork
chop.
The world's ever known.
Yeah, we've definitely talked about it on this podcast.
We definitely talked about it.
And
then
cooked it down, turn it into...
Andres Pops, he's got a lot of old Spanish Rioja from way back in the day.
Oh, word?
Hidden in Grandpappy's cellar.
It's dug in the side of a hill, like a Alabama tick.
Yeah. Like, I've been to his parents' house in Northern California, and I'll be, like, snooping around trying to find, like, the dish soap under the sink and find a couple old bottles older than me hidden under there. I'm like, oh, I see how Mans is doing it.
We have a friend. We don't have a wine cellar in Monterey, but we have a friend in Carmel who's very sweet, who has a really nice wine cellar that she doesn't need all the space in, so that's where he keeps all his wine.
Mm.
Oh, really?
And my dad is now allergic to alcohol and gets migraines if it touches his tongue, so he can't
Jeez.
Drink
it. Oh, no.
So.
Oh, that is a great place to sell a wine, the temperature.
Yes. Northern California, coastal, dug in, underground. It doesn't get any better than that.
Density,
come
everything.
See me, dog.
Bang.
Well, so we brought out one of the old bottles from under the sink, the 1970.
Yeesh.
1970 Rioja.
Yeah. It was good. The funny thing with those wines is they don't always survive, and I think
that's the
I've
fun
been
part.
Told by people that know wine better than me. Which I do not know very well.
Mm-hmm. What do you think the over-under on that bottle being going south is?
You know, well, that's the thing is that there's been a few that haven't made it, but the majority do, and I've been told by Psalms that, you know, that is a wine built to last. Those Spanish Riojas really can take decades and survive through them.
Mm-hmm.
So you just never know. I mean, it's funny, too. The cork smelled sour. And the nose, I think it opened and breathed for like an hour, and the nose was a little bit harsh. But then once you tasted it, it was fantastic.
Yeah, he poured it out.
Really impressive.
And the guy was like, yeah, the cork disintegrated, and we strained it through cheesecloth. And then
that always happens.
And hit it in the decanter, which is, you know, which was to be expected.
Old, man.
And then, but we were kind of scared because we were like, so what's going on with this wine? And he's like, oh, it's definitely
also,
and he was sort of like
what was fascinating though is that he came over and all he could really kind of relate to was the nose because he wasn't drinking the night because we offered him a pour.
Mm-hmm.
And was the very interesting, he was like, yes, I would love a taste, except that I'm unable to drink right now,
right?
And then left it that, which also an awkward statement because you're just like, yeah, what's up?
He lifted up his leg and he had the little house arrest thing
on. I was like, you see the bracelet, you see bracelet,
and I but I was like, are you
so
saying
he
that
he tasted it? And
are you
he
saying
was
that
like,
because you are afraid that it's going to taste like shit, or are you straight up can't drink it? But he scared me and he was like, well, you know, it's definitely ready to drink.
Yeah, I think that was what he said.
He was sort of like alluding to the fact that there's a good chance that this you're about to drink 46-year-old vinegar.
Right.
It's gonna be dunzo. So we were not expecting much, and then poured some glasses, and then we all took a sip of it, and we're like, it's pretty good. And then like 30 seconds later, we hadn't said a word, and we're like looking at each other, just like, wait a minute, like this is like. This is something.
This
like,
is really this is, good.
This is fucking crazy.
And then it sat. You know, we it was slow. We started with a bottle of rosé and then let that kind of breathe for like an hour and then
swag
started.
God damn it!
No, yep. That swag is for me.
But then, so it sat probably for an hour. You know, we very slowly drinking it, really enjoying it, and then it really to me again in my fairly unexperienced or unarticulated wine palate, It really started to open up, and then you started to get these notes of like anise and black cherry. Mm-hmm. And Bob, who was with us, who's been on the pod, has a great wine nose and was like describing it to us. And it was so funny because as he said it, I could smell it. I was just like, oh yeah, that's there too. I totally get that. And then he would put it down. And so it was fun to drink with him too. That was really great. Mm-hmm. But it really seemed, it needed time, obviously, like you would imagine any 50-year-old wine does. But yeah,
I was getting some sage off of there.
Needed to open up.
Yeah, and then one of the waiters came over and we offered him a little. He's like, yeah, I'll take a little hit off of it. I got to go in the back. I can't like drink it.
Yeah.
I can't drink it on the floor, obviously.
Yeah.
And then he came back and he was just like, well, bro, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Holy sh! I mean,
it was nice. It was really, huh. It was really fun. It was like, it was one of those moments where it always seems like almost an offensive or kind of an overly big statement to do that in public, but it's like the food's so good that I really wanted to do that. And also the company and sharing with the people that we're working, it's just so much fun. It's like it reminds you of like there's ways to be assholes about things and there's ways to really enjoy things. And you can do both of those things in LA. It's like the conversation we were talking about earlier about food culture. It's like, you can be an asshole about what you're eating, or you can be really fun and enjoyable and think about how it's better because you're sharing it and you're laughing and you're not like sitting there acting privileged. Mm-hmm. And it's like that meal to me was so much fun.
Absolutely. That's how it should be done, man.
You need to start cellaring wine, Jesus.
And the culatello. The charcuterie platter and the culatello at that restaurant truly is one of the most mind-boggling experiences you can have in LA.
So funky.
You can really eat at Kiesbach if you wanted to. You get the charcuterie platter, a little culatello, and then the
torta de reco.
The torta de reco, which is like a kind of a pizza pastry thing we've described before. But two people can share that and eat at that restaurant for $80, which is not cheap, but it's also, people can do that. You can spend $40 at Chili's.
Yeah. $40
at Wild Wings. For sure. You have like a couple of Cosmos at Cheesecake. That's $40
for
sure.
So it's not a fully exclusive experience. You can go off the rails and spend $2,000 in there if you want to, but you can also have a really nice.
But yeah, we've all had $40 a person. $40 ahead dinners with people that have been, you can do that
terrible.
Where it's like, oh, here's
terrible,
like,
for sure.
Here's like the best version of whatever you're about to eat, like,
yes,
in America,
yes, 100%.
Give it to me, baby.
But then you get in there and you're like, well, I'm here. I might as well just see what that pork chop be tasting like. You have to go, and if you want to be cheap in there, if you want to try and save money and not go crazy, you really have to be diligent, because it's so easy to be like, you know what, I'm just going to get the two simple things, just a nice light dinner, and you look at the menu and it's like, oh, all right, well,
it's like when I go eat sushi at a nice place and it's like, everything I want says MP next to it, and you're like, oh, I want to order the live shrimp, because then they fry the shrimp headies and I get to crunch
your all-time favorite.
Maybe my all-time favorite bite of food in the game. But the live shrimp, it always says MP next to it. It's always so expensive.
It always says, if you need to ask, don't order this.
Yeah, like you're going to get two fried shrimp heads, and each fried shrimp head is going to be like $9.
Yes.
And you just do it. Or like the Uni's market price or whatever it might be, it's easy to get to go crazy. But I say, get a California roll and get a live shrimp.
Yeah.
Fire and ice.
Absolutely.
Yin and yang, baby.
Yeah. Crunch and mush.
Sick Game of Thrones reference there.
is that a Game of Thrones reference?
Actually, yeah, it sure is. Accidental.
So let's talk about, let's talk a little bit about your side of the game.
Hell no. Yes, let's talk about this.
Over
right
at Burger
now.
Lords.
Yeah.
You guys have been messing around with a vegan version of the greatest hamburger of our childhood.
It really
Hell
is
yes.
The greatest hamburger of our childhood.
The Carl's Jr. Bacon Western Cheeseburger.
It's something that in our vegan days, Jason and I.
Vegan days.
We figured out
how
to make our own version.
Pearl Jam heads.
And it was good.
Yeah, when we were high school teens, we would make the vegan version of a bacon Western cheeseburger
just
off
like,
of ingredients.
With a Boca Burger or
Boca
a Morningstar
burger.
Patty?
It was Boca Burger. It was some sort of potato bun. I can't remember the name.
Maybe like a Country Harvest potato
roll. Yeah,
from Ralph's. Shout out to our mom.
Yep.
Getting that good potato back in the day. Before potato was hot.
What cheese we use, or if we even put cheese on. We might have not. I think vegan cheese wasn't there yet. It might have been tofu-y.
Yeah, vegan cheese back then was like Soylent levels. Pretty bad. It was like the first Tesla. Like, it wasn't really popular.
I want that.
Which actually was for the Leaf. Best because it gave you cashew cheese, which is amazing. And then.
Is Daiya vegan, or did that have
Oh, super vegan, but it's just basically.
Daiya is vegan.
But what was the other? So there's Daiya, and then the other one, the other big fake cheese back in the day had.
Tofu-y.
No, there's another one, but it had
casein. Oh, the casein one?
Casein.
Oh, God.
It was everywhere that we couldn't have because it had a milk product.
It was protein.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Back to the best, back to the best vegan burger in all of Los Angeles.
Yeah, we used to use like frozen onion rings, which we'd bake off and put them in there. And then just, I can't remember what the barbecue sauce was.
Not a bad
was.
Look when it's
just
all
like
you got.
Casey Masterpiece Barbecue. Casey Masterpiece. Veganaise.
Yeah.
We didn't.
And then we would hit the, you hit the tater tot logs.
They're great. Oh, that's Oneida, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oneida, Oneida.
It wasn't the tater tot. It was the tater tot, but into the little logs.
And they're
where
very,
it looked
very
like
good.
Like a slice of spam or something like that, or a large domino.
And they're also frozen, so you just bake those with the onion rings.
But you got to bake them for, like, it'll say, like, cook in the oven for
30 minutes. It's like toaster. You're talking about toaster hash browns.
No,
it really is adjacent to
it's a tater finger.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a hash brown stick.
I may have never seen them.
They're really good.
Hash brown stick.
It sounds amazing.
But like the secret for the tot is you cook it for about 20 minutes past the instructions.
Always.
But the other thing, I think we use bacon, right?
Oh, yeah.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Bacon. We hadn't gotten onto.
Bacon's were vegan for
we
sure.
We hadn't gone to Fakin Bacon yet.
Or tempeh bacon?
Yeah, Tempe Bacon, Fakin Bacon, the company's called Light
Life. We could have done
Light
a Morningstar
Life.
Bacon with it, though.
We did, but you know, I think the easiest and the...
Right after you get that paycheck, you can hit it with the Morningstar Bacon.
Well, you can get Bacos at a 7-Eleven,
but
right?
Morningstar isn't vegan because it has egg whites. So I think we mostly use
get
Bacon.
Get your game straight, Morningstar.
Because Bacos on a hippie sandwich, like avocado, wheat
best.
Toast, and veganaise. That's like that ill crunch because it's TVP, it's textured vegetable protein.
And that smokiness.
It's so airy.
That ill crunch, fam.
That ill crunch. Gah, gah, gah. Three times. And then end snap. So that was kind of what we were going off when we were recipe testing. We kept getting these frozen onion rings, and we had stepped it up. Which we stuck with, which was the Fakin Bacon.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. But you have to cook it really hard and let it dry so it gets like crispy like bacon. Because if you just cook it on the plancha and it's not really dark, the bacon is really soggy.
Flimsy.
And you have this terrible texture because our patty is really grainy. And it's we don't fry it, like deep fry it. So it's just this doubling texture. Coupled with the onion ring, and it was like mush in
hot
our
mush
mouth.
On hot mush,
hot mush on hot mush, and it didn't work.
Mush crunch.
And I'll give you the secret. We use Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce because it's good.
It's such a great base.
It's really
barbecue
good.
Sauce. It is really good.
It's vegan, and it's like our restaurant is so small. We can scratch
the Honda Civic of barbecue sauces.
We can scratch
big time.
Fine. He could rip it all off. And to scratch makes barbecue sauce is not that hard, but
it's expensive.
It's a pain in the butt.
Molasses is expensive.
It's expensive.
Tomato paste can be expensive. Like it's not. Yeah. Like,
it's never going to taste just quite right.
It's always going to be cheaper to buy Baby Ray's in bulk.
And so when it comes down to it, we already had the patty. We have the cheese that we really like, which is Follow Your Heart, like basically American cheese, cheddar cheese that Follow Your Heart makes, which is really strong and pungent. And we have the barbecue sauce we really dug. And we have the the bacon that we really dug. We knew we wanted to do it because it's better for you than anything else. Like,
for sure.
Morningstar is fine. Bacos is fine, but it's super processed. And Fakin Bacon is just fermented soybeans pressed together. Actually pretty good in your pod.
And it tastes really good. It
tastes really good.
You're not sacrificing any flavor. Yeah. I prefer tempeh bacon pretty much to any fake
bacon.
It's great.
And you can, it's the same as bacon.
It crisps really well, too, on the flat top, which is nice.
You cook it off beforehand, and you let it rest, kind of like if you go to, like, say, Egg Slut, their bacon's just sitting there. They've baked it off hours ago.
Yeah, every restaurant in the world that serves bacon.
And fresh bacon is good, but when it's on a sandwich, you want it to be really, really crunchy and airy. So that's what we are trying to emulate with the bacon. So it's just sitting there on a rack, and it's drying and drying. So it's hardly fresh. It's kind of more hot to room temp.
Textured.
Better, because it's just, like, hard. But we finally were like, okay, sourcing onion rings, and nothing we can find that our vendors carried were vegan. They always had
one thing.
Almost all had whey. And then when you took a bite of it, you would take the onion and it would just rip right out of the casing. Yep. So you had this hollow shell.
Yep.
And it was fucking nasty. It was so peppy. And then we just decided, like, okay, we have all these ingredients. We have flour and all the stuff that we use to make the patty. Onion ring, and that was like, boom, we got it. That's it. So, and it's made with Topo Chico's to emulate a beer batter, and it's jamming. It's actually better.
It's so good.
In my opinion, because of the onion ring. It's scratch.
I've said it before too, but before Burger Lord's opened, there was definitely a king of veggie burgers, and it was.
Oh, it's so good.
The Big Macro is by far. At M Cafe was the best.
100% agree.
Was the best veggie burger in LA. And then Burger Lords came around and you guys make your veggie burger from scratch. And it is every percent as good. But what's great about it is they're two different burgers, right?
So different.
You've got the drive-thru burger and then you've got kind of like the pub burger, if you want to compare those two. But trying the bacon western cheese, you brought one to me, and that was still like, you know, 15 minutes old. It wasn't even hot out the oven.
Oh, yeah, an hour probably.
Like, my eyes rolled in the back of my head. It was so good. It really is. Like, if you guys want to try one of the best veggie burgers that you will ever taste.
I feel like we're sort of doing a teasing disservice because it's not on the menu.
We do it on Mondays.
It is Mondays. That's right.
We're doing it on Mondays. We have an event coming up. I think it's the 2nd and 3rd of September. It's the Vegan Fat Kid. His Instagram has literally 100,000 followers.
That's amazing.
So he came the day that we did like a little soft launch, and
he posted it.
Not at all. He's actually really fit.
Yeah, no, he's a bodybuilder.
He's a Kiwi or an Aussie. I can't remember.
If you look at his Instagram, it's just pictures of vegan food and him in the gym like blasting deadlifts.
Either he was fit or it's a take
similar to my Instagram
on the fact that he really likes the food is kind of fat kid, you know, that he goes with posting about. It's phenomenally nice guy, very supportive, and he's.
If you're a vegan bodybuilder, you better be nice.
He's a nice guy. Super chill. He has a food fest coming up, and he like specifically wants us to be there, but not with a regular burger. Like,
with the bacon, western cheese?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So we're hyped to do it for them.
Sweet.
And yeah, it was so nostalgic, and to see the kids come through and be so excited to eat this burger, the vegan kids, it's just like, oh, great.
Well, the three of us sitting at this table had that experience when we were vegan. We would travel far and high to get vegan food, and
a weed pun?
Yeah, wearing a hand in.
Sorry,
it's 420 somewhere.
I don't get it.
But it was a burger that back in the day you would drive places or you'd hear about something that was vegan and you'd go like you drive 2 hours and you'd be like, that's a bummer. You drove 2 hours to eat this thing, you would be so satisfied and so excited and probably think about doing it the next week, too.
If you live in Riverside, it's worth the trek.
And that's what happens. People drive from so far.
For sure.
To get the regular vegan cheeseburger with our Lord of the Fries, melted
vegan animal
cheese.
Style fries.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Can't say it because I don't want them to sue us. They come from so far. Like, these two ladies came from Long Beach just because they saw the fat kid posted, and they came right up, and they were so stoked. So, yeah, I get it.
I 100%. I mean,
totally get
it. That's what happens when you are vegan. Things become nostalgic. There are things you can't have on a whim. And when somebody makes a really nice version of something that you remember fondly, it becomes special, and you will travel for it. And I think you guys have done that. It's so good.
And when you're vegan, you got a lot of spare time on your hands.
It's true.
And when you have such a restricted, intense diet, your diet becomes your hobby.
For for sure.
Oh, yeah. That's how we learned how to cook, probably most of us at this table, because we had to fend for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Like, very good point.
And that was the basis of the nexus of me having to cook, is that how else am I going to eat?
I can't eat Wendy's fries every day.
And we tried. We ate a lot of Wendy's fries.
Ate a lot of Biggie fries.
And even though the ingredients change, we learned at an early age the idea of cooking was not work, or got used to the idea of cooking, right?
Mm, yeah.
When you're like 16, 17, like, you don't ever fathom about cooking. Well, maybe people now do.
Mm-hmm.
Older
100%
these days.
Things have changed. Things have changed dramatically.
Back then,
for the
there was
better.
No 16-year-old kids that didn't do anything other than like make a quesadilla in the microwave, right?
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you had to. Mm-hmm. And so then you're transitioning out of that into your early 20s. You're like, well, I'm not vegan right now, but I cooked all the time, so I guess I'll just cook other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're 16, you're like, I guess I could toast this Pop-Tart, but I'll just eat it straight up raw dog.
Yeah, it's toast.
For sure. A lot of work.
And we would skate all the time, so, and somehow our house became the hangout.
Gnarly 50-50s, get an appetite.
Yeah, we'd be,
real.
We actually did have like a little rail in our backyard and a curb. I forgot we would totally skate our backyard all
get
the
out
time.
Of my room, Mom.
And we wax up our curb, and yeah, we would make these burgers.
And the tater tots would just fly off the shelves.
Shout outs.
Just a little slice of nostalgia,
and then
fellas.
We evolved.
Well, we got the stew return in the books.
Should we just like
off best the, thing we ate
off the cuff? Best thing we ate.
Ooh,
I like it. Nick, and not I haven't thought about it. I thought about it when we like 2/3 in. I was like, oh no, I don't have a best thing I ate.
I didn't think about it at
and
all.
And I like it this way. I like it better when we don't think about it. We don't plan it.
All right, hot ass, go for it.
Okay, I didn't have one. I was just saying that.
Yeah,
are we trying to do regular
one.
Segments now?
Yeah, again. This is so hard because it's been so long, but I'll keep it true to this week. On Tuesday, I finally went to Sawtelle and had the Sujita ramen. Mm-hmm. I've never, ever been. I've had it at a food event or two, but it wasn't the same. I got the regular size. It's really milky broth. There's a bit of cabbage in there. It's it's actually, to be specific, it's the annex. I don't know if anyone knows mm-hmm. where Giant Robot was.
Right. Yep.
Actually, it used to be the GR Eats. Giant Robot had their own little restaurant for a little while. The annexes for the toy heads out there. Giant Robot heads. And it
the GR heads.
It was crazy.
Not the GNR heads.
Not the GNR heads. We'll see you at Dodger Stadium, bro. It was astonishing. It's so filling. It mm-hmm. was weird to eat on a hot summer day, but I had to do it because I'm never over on that side of town. They recommend adding 3 scoops of this chili, like this house chili.
Ooh.
Did it, and it was
exceptional.
And I did it. Very sick noodles, very thick noodles. I didn't mean to say sick. That was like a Freudian slip. Very thick noodles, big, thick cuts of pork.
When you're trying something for the first time, and it's kind of a signature dish, go with what the guy tells you who works there,
for
how
sure.
to eat
yeah.
it. You know what? And then if you don't like it, try it again, do something
it's
different.
Cool.
But the first time you do it, the guy's like, hey, you should put two or three scoops of that chili flake in there.
Yeah.
Do the 3 scoops of chili flake.
And I did. It was exceptional.
Yeah. I will say, even though I already mentioned it, and I'm calling now a best thing you ate or drink segment this week.
That works perfect.
The kimchi Bloody Mary. And I'm saying this again because I thought for a few days after, like, oh, I wish I could just get that right now in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Because it was so good. And I will say the kimchi Bloody Mary was one of the best things that I had.
I suppose you could get that.
Yeah.
I mean, you could make that yourself.
I mean,
no, I could. But no, but that's also, sometimes you don't want to make the things that are great at your house because they become less special
mm-hmm.
a little bit. But yeah.
I mean, there's been a lot.
Same.
I would the bacon western cheeseburger. I've had it like 3 times in the last couple of weeks. That is definitely high up there. But I think I'm gonna have to go for the pig foot croquette at Kisbaka on the charcuterie platter. They just cook down the pig's feet, cartilage, and meat forever. Ball it up into a little. It looks like a baby bell cheese. Batter and fry it, and then aioli with mustard grain seeds on top of it. And I you know,
you can see
pound
them
for pound. I don't know if there's going to be a more smack you over the head flavorful bite of food.
It, you can sounds see them preparing rich the food from almost anywhere in the restaurant, including they have a bar at the chef line. So I've never been there, but you can see them making the food. They make that charcuterie plate. They're hand slicing everything per order. And the last thing to come out, that croquette goes down, and they're like snapping at the server to be like, get it out.
Piping hot.
I've had it 4 or 5 times, and it's always like it's within 30 seconds of it coming out. It is mm-hmm. so well done.
It's Mama crazy.
Mia. Mama lying.
All right, guys. Okay. Thank you. I almost forgot about the best thing we had a week. That's how long it's been. But thank you for everyone who shouted us out on social media.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That, you know,
hey, brought it back. Feel happy.
We're here.
Brought it back.
We're going to do it again.
Next week.
You can follow me on social media, at themjeans. Chris is Stewie Stewart on Instagram. Andre Canaparo has no social media. If you like this show, tell a friend, subscribe on iTunes. You can go to thestewpodcast.com for all the old episodes.
So many old episodes.
You can listen to my other podcast, Tall Tales. And I have another music podcast called Serious Mixing that comes out every Sunday morning where that's just straight up music.
Enjoy it with your coffee.
Good. It's so vibey.
Nice pastry. Now let's do some mom shout-outs. Jill Canaparo.
Karen.
This is for you.
Jill. Welcome. We're back, dog. Okay, see you guys next week.
Mom.
Bye.